brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
That's a fact. We're up against the George Foreman infomercials now.
Oh, we can't beat George Foreman.
Well, we can.
I doubt it. I mean,
but they moved his a half hour earlier. That's why we're better.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say, because, you know, like, he beat Ali. Come on, please. No, I don't think so. I just don't think we can beat him. So, well, our sip segments are all about distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and whiskeys, and all of that. So, we're going to be talking about some stuff. So, joining me today is Made Man Brent.
Pleasure to be here in the basement.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning. I'm extremely excited that Brent decided to wear pants today.
That did not happen.
How? I mean, how excited? I mean, am I the only one that's uncomfortable with that statement? I mean, it's just...
I am very aroused.
Settle down, Maury. And good old boy, Justin.
Good morning. Well, it's really impossible to say. It is so dark in the basement. Anybody could be wearing or not wearing anything here.
It's not a swingers club. It's just a basement, for crying out loud. Good Lord. All right. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and the whiskeys we're going to be tasting today are from Davies County. We have the Davies County Lightly Toasted Barrel Bourbon. From Barrel Bourbon, we have the Barrel Bourbon Vantage, the Barrel Bourbon Batch 32, and the Barrel Bourbon Batch 33. From Kentucky Senator, we have their release number 3, the John C. Carlisle. And from Booker's, we have all three releases for 2022. The first release, Ronnie's Batch, the second release, the Lumberyard Batch, and the third release, Kentucky Tea Batch. So we're going to be tasting and rating these whiskeys with our signature sounds, and we're going to ask Justin to tell us all about those.
All right.
Today?
Yeah.
Yep.
Anytime now.
We're waiting.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
I'm trying to figure out what that's supposed to be.
It didn't quite sound like a drunken leprechaun.
It kind of sounds like Jack Palance out of breath.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Nah, not feeling it today.
Nope.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
And that's Justin's best attempt at the sexy voice.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
And now you know why he doesn't have any kids.
Five
That's
sips.
His sexy voice, yeah.
Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes! 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 Yes!
I'm still trying to figure that accent out. What was
not
that
a single
like?
Listener. Yeah. Not a single listener.
What was it supposed to be?
Was that like Inuit or, you know?
Clint Eastwood.
Oh, okay.
Last second change.
God
well,
help
thank
us.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. God help us all.
Hot tip.
All right, so we're going to go on. Good Lord, right in the toilet 4 minutes in. We're going to go to our first whiskey, and we're going to have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. First whiskey is the Davies County Lightly Toasted Barrel, 48% ABV or 96 proof. The Davies County Lightly Toasted is a blend of rye and wheated bourbon mash bills, which is aged 4+ years before it is finished in a lightly toasted barrel. This is the first in a series of annually offered toasted barrel finishes. The Toasted Barrel Finish seems to be something that a lot of people are jumping on.
Very hot.
Yeah, after, right now. It's a hot item right now.
Every booth at KBF this year had at least one Toasted Barrel product. Light toasted, medium toasted, heavy toasted, you know, raisin toasted, you know, rye bread toasted, you know, Pop-Tart toasted, whatever.
Do you think they all have spies in each other's distilleries so that they can all come out with the same stuff at the same time?
They just run with what's when somebody becomes something hot with something, the rest of them jump on it.
There are spies everywhere.
But you know what? I mean, when it comes down to it, though, Toasted Barrel Finish is something that's been around a long time. It just seems to be that a lot more people are doing it right now than were, say, 3 or 4 years ago. So
we have the color of this. It's nice, light copper color. On the nose, I got some honey floral notes, a little touch of cinnamon. On the palate, I got vanilla, followed quickly by cinnamon and black pepper and baking spices. The palate was kind of brushed the front of the palate, and it lingered mostly in the mid to back palate. The finish was a medium finish. When you get that lingering cinnamon baking spices on the, you know, with your lingering, with your finish. Overall, it was very enjoyable. I can see this becoming something that they're going to put out annually. And you're going to want to get.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the label, you'll see little boxes there for, I think, light, medium, and heavy toasts. I think they're going to each year go up a little, you know?
Change it up a little bit and differentiate themselves.
That's easy for you to say.
No, it's not.
Apparently not. What do you think, Maury?
You know, I think Brett nailed it. I think he got it spot on. I agree with you on the finish. It was medium, but then had this cinnamon baking spice that kind of persisted a little bit. When I initially nosed the whiskey, I thought it was slightly hot. But with a little bit of time in the glass and a little bit of oxygen, that heat blew off. And it kind of balanced out the nose a little bit. And I agree with everything you said. So I thought it was beautifully made. You know, I think they're pushing this to be sort of a special annual release, and that's where it fell short. I don't think it's special. I think this is a great all-day sipper. I'd be happy to drink this. It's well made. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. I think it's really a nice whiskey, but if it's a flagship once a year special release, it fell short of that.
Yeah,
it's a flagship. I think it's just every year they're going to just change the level of toast. That's all.
It's worth going out and getting, but it's not that special bourbon that you have to chase and make sure you have.
Right. And I'm not sure where the price point's going to be. But yeah,
it's not. It's a, you know, a very affordably priced whiskey.
And for that, it's worth it. I mean, for that, it's something that belongs on the shelf. It's something you can approach. It's very easily approachable by just about anybody. Packaging's beautiful. The color's beautiful. It's well made.
It's from the folks over at Luxco, and they don't turn out a bad product. And the thing that I always say about Luxco is they are the value company. They turn out really good whiskey for a really competitive price.
You know, I would agree with you.
You get more value for the dollar with a lot of their stuff than a lot of people, you know, in the business. I mean, like they, you know, the old,
I think that's true.
That old Ezra 7, my God, that stuff was fantastic. It's still fantastic. And I mean, for the price point, you can't beat it. I mean, a lot of their stuff is for the money. The double barreled one that they do over at Luxco, that one's really, really great. And all the ones we've had from them so far have been very good. I think this is the best one they've done. I think out of all the ones that they've done so far with Davies County, I think this one really was extremely well done.
I agree with you. I think that, like I said, it's beautifully made and it's delicious.
And it's not overly done.
No.
With a lot of barrel finishes, sometimes, you know, they've let it sit too long, you know, and then they take it out and it tastes too much like toasted oak or too much like Cabernet Sauvignon or too much like Calvados or too much.
Yeah, I don't
like
think they've
sherry.
Told us how long they've aged this in the toasted barrel to finish it, but obviously it's relatively short because you're right. It's spot on. It's
that's the thing. That's the skill is you have to know when to pull it. And a lot of people don't, you know, I mean,
and with the price point, they could jump up to be the leader in this if they have the right price. That's, you know, you're not going to compete against something that's $80, $90, $100. If you can be ahead of them and just as good, or close to it, it'll be nice.
Yeah. It's again, they always put out a quality product for a very good price. What do you think, Jason?
So this nose evoked like a lot of childhood memories, like floral notes and like a thick cedar drawer that hadn't been opened for a while. It's like grandma's house. It was pretty cool on the nose. On the palate, it started out creamy, and then as air got to it, it became dry. And I got like 2-3 different kinds of wood, like toasted oak and sandalwood. It was complex wood, not simple wood. And the finish was medium and pleasant. It was a well-done toasted barrel product. That's what I think.
You get more than one kind of wood?
I am very aroused.
Some people are lucky to get,
I don't know, man.
One kind of wood.
I think people pay...
Good money.
Good money for
the way he does it
wood.
Is he takes those little blue pills and he breaks them in half and swallows, you know, one half each, and then it's two.
I'm not revealing my trade craft.
That would be double wood.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that'd be double wood. Yeah, never mind. So no, it's a beautiful whiskey. It's got a really nice nose, and you can smell that barrel toast in it. It's got a very clean oak to it, but you can definitely smell the toasting in it. Mm. And on the palate, yeah, I mean, it's got a very nice light mouth coat to it. I'm with you, Brent. It washes back from the tip of the tongue and then settles in the back, in the middle of the tongue. But it's got a lovely mouth feel to it. It's got a nice sweetness, but not overly sweet. And, you know, extremely well done. Again, it's Luxco. They really don't put out anything bad. Everything they put out is pretty dang good whiskey for the money. So, and we've had, four or five, I think, so far of the Davies County.
Yeah.
So we're going to be rating the Davies County a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished talking about the Davies County Lightly Toasted Barrel Bourbon. 48% ABV, 96 proof, and it got a great 3 sips. So we're moving on to our next whiskey. We're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. The next whiskey is the Barrel Bourbon Vantage, 57.22% ABV or 114.44 proof. It is non-age stated. The Vantage is a blend of straight bourbons finished in 3 distinct expressions of virgin oak, Mizanara, French, and toasted American oak casks. Each component whiskey in Vantage is finished separately, focusing on the wood characteristics and the specific flavor contributions that each cask contributes to the blend.
What kind of American oak? Toasted
American oak.
you think there's a trend? Yeah.
So this has a beautiful copper color to it. On the nose, I get all kinds of great things. Coconut and creme brulee and oak, nutmeg. And the Mizanara seems to give a little bit of an incense or even there's a hint of a grilled pineapple note there. On the palate, it's sweet. It's oily. It's got a little hint of espresso, spice, French oak, a little syrupy, maple-y, syrupy note to it. And then the finish just goes on and on. There's some spice, some pepper, some crystallized ginger. I think this is a beautiful whiskey. I think it's really one of the nicest things I've had from Barrel in a long time. I loved it. What'd you think, Brent?
Yeah, Barrel's one of those products when they first started, I wasn't a big fan. And in the last few years, they've really come out with some amazing items that have elevated them above the crowd. I agree with you,
but the problem is you have to select them carefully. They're not all above the crowd.
Right, but the majority, well, nobody's but the majority
always,
of them
yeah, are. Nobody's always. Right. You don't hit 100 every single time.
Right, yeah. But yeah, on the nose when I first... The thing that, as soon as I nosed it, I got pineapple right off the bat. And now that's kind of faded off, that creme brulee and that like chocolate on it. But yeah, I got on the palate, that espresso and plums on the palate. Nice finish. I really enjoyed this one. This is one of their better ones that I've had. Justin?
So this for me was a spring barbecue. I got suntan lotion on the nose. I got pineapple on the grill. Got some wood chips in the fire. Very good.
I don't know. He said the last one reminded him of his childhood, and I was getting ready to start crying. So.
Well, spring barbecue is much more up. But no, it's fun.
Yeah, this is a really good blend. And Joe Beatrice over at Barrel Bourbon has, you know, proven time and again, the man is a very, very talented blender. And he's taking whiskeys from Indiana, from Kentucky, from Tennessee, from other places. And again, blending is the art of taking the component whiskeys and making them better than the sum of their parts. And that's very hard to do. And I think he's done an amazing job with Barrel from day one. I think he's, you know, they've really done some great stuff there, and they continue to do great stuff. And I really, really like this one. It's, I mean, the finish on it is huge. I mean, it's got a great mouthfeel to it. On the nose, again, the funny thing is it's got the three woods. I pick up the Mizanar on the nose. I don't get it on the palate because the French oak overwhelms it. But the French oak does not overwhelm it on the nose. And I'm imagining that's what he meant to do is, you know, let's pick the nose up because the other two aren't really going to do that. But you can definitely get that sort of creamy sandalwood incense-y kind of note that you get from the Mizanara, and I'm a Mizanara freak. Anything in a Mizanara cask I always like. But there's definitely like a milk chocolate on it. The roasted pineapple is there. And on the palate, it's, again, it's huge dark roast coffee espresso. The big, big spice notes on it. I think that's coming from the French oak. A little bit of a sort of a maple syrupy kind of finish on the back palate. You know, a really well done blend. I think they really did a great job on this one. So we're going to be rating the Barrel Bourbon Vantage a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Way to go, guys. That one was really impressive. So we're going to have Justin tell us about our next one from Barrel Bourbon.
We're going to talk about Barrel Bourbon Batch 32. It's 57.67% alcohol by volume, or 155.34 proof. It's a blend of 5, 6, 7, and 10-year-old barrels distilled and aged in Tennessee, Kentucky, and Indiana. The color's on the light side. It's light brown, so you should drink it down. On the nose,
we got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
Homer agrees.
I get summer fruits on the nose. You get some watermelon, apple, banana, just a little bit of cream on the palate. You get like cinnamon rolls. You get roasted chestnuts. A little bit of ginger. Ouch. Yeah. Happens. So it happens.
Don't stand too close to the fire.
Too close to the grill. Yep. And the finish, it's all mid palate. It's a decent length. And it's a pleasant end to it. What did you think, Maury?
Well, I didn't get quite as much tropical fruit as you did, but I thought it was a very pleasant, beautiful whiskey. I was really wowed by the mouthfeel. To me, the minute I put this in my mouth, it was just creamy and viscous and mouth-coating. And for me, that was the real highlight of this, was the mouthfeel. I agree with everything you said on the palate, the cinnamon roll and the brioche, and even a little hint of boiled peanuts, which you didn't mention. And a medium to long finish. I liked it. I thought it was very pleasant. It was very enjoyable. But again, for me, the highlight of this whiskey was the mouthfeel. It was just yummy on the palate.
It's very, very creamy.
Yeah, that cinnamon roll finish is going to make me want to go down to Miami and pick up some cinnamon rolls one of these weekends.
Yes.
Yes.
I will pay you.
We're all pulling out bills for those who can't see the broadcast today to get those cinnamon rolls.
Just come over here. I'll make them for you.
There we go. That's it. But yeah, I didn't.
You don't have that beautiful Amish beard. You have to have that beard to make.
Well, I can pretend.
We could
draw at that.
We could draw it on him.
Call me Jebediah, and it'll all be the same. I'll wear a white shirt and black pants and some suspenders. I'll make you happy.
Yeah, I prefer the spicy boiled peanuts, so I didn't get that on the palate. But I did get that cinnamon roll, that brioche.
Hey, Brent's a family show.
Yeah,
what kind of spicy boiled peanuts?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Finally, he got the tea in there. Been trying to teach him forever.
I did get those fruits on the nose, just like, you know, some of those summer fruits on the nose.
And that was your breakfast bowl.
Yes, it was. But on the palate, it was a really light finish, and it died off too quickly for me. Just died off.
Really? I found that cinnamon just kept going and going for a while.
Yeah, I thought it died off too quickly. But other than that, it was enjoyable. Another nice experiment that they've done.
Yeah, every batch is different, and that's one of the really nice things that I do like about Barrel, is every batch you get is different.
And that's good and bad. Sometimes you just want the same consistency.
There's a million people out there doing consistency. You know, there's Jim Beam White Label, there's Four Roses Small
Batch. Yeah, but if you get
there's a lot of people making the consistent, you know, brand. I kind of enjoy the fact that they're doing the opposite. They're doing different batches and they're blending them and you know, doing different things. It just makes it interesting.
But it would be nice if they had one of their top ones and they consistently produced that one.
Well, that's going to be hard.
They went back to it.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to have a really steady supply.
Yeah, that's
to be able to, you know, a large amount.
You have to work with what you get.
Yeah, that's going to be the problem. So, the fact that they're able to, you know, blend different batches and make them all different, you know, I think sets them apart.
I think they source everything. So they get what they get.
Yeah.
If they can make it in house, like Four Roses.
So wherever you can get it, you get it, and then you do what you want with it from that point.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. On the nose, it's just, for me, it's just flowery on the tip. And then in the back of the nose, that's where I start getting the fruit. I get a little bit of cherry on it, and then I get a little bit of tropical fruit. There's some nice sweet oak in there. A little bit of char. And on the palate, on the palate, it's got an amazingly good mouth coat. For me, that's the thing. It fills up the mouth. A lot of cinnamon on there, a lot of caramel. Little bit of spice, almost like a gingery kind of, like a spicy gingerbread cookie. Yeah. I mean, extremely well done. And, you know, another really good one from the folks at Barrel. So we're going to be rating the, Barrel Bourbon Batch 32, a well-deserved 3 sips, guys.
Just tell us about the next one, Bob.
All right, so the last one from Barrel we have is the Barrel Bourbon Batch 33. It's 58.3% ABV, 116.6 proof. Woo! That's the other thing I like about them is they bottle everything at cask strength. So thank you, Joe. Thank you, Janet. It's a blend of 5, 6, 7, and 9-year-old barrels distilled in Tennessee, Kentucky, and Indiana. So
That's a good sweet spot for barrels too. You know, when you're picking barrels 7, you know, that 7 year, the 9 year.
It's got a nice sort of burnished sort of bronze color to it on the nose. This one, I get a lot of lemon on it. I get pear. I get peppermint right in the tip of the nose. There's a little bit of a floral note to it. And there's a nuttiness, almost like a walnut, sort of that bitter walnut. And on the palate, on the palate, there's a nice alcohol burn to it, but it's not overpowering. Definitely doesn't drink at 116. I get a nice fresh oak on it, some baking spice, a little bit of cocoa, a little bit of allspice. Yeah, delicious. What do you think, Brent?
Yes, another one that's different. You know,
yeah, completely different from batch 32. You know, the one before it. That's
yes. The this reminded me like when I lived up in Sault Ste. Marie and all the dandelions would come out and you're kind of like laying around and smelling all those dandelions.
Yeah,
you get that those dandelion floral notes to it. You know, along with some, you know, that kind of like that lemon meringue.
Yeah.
And things.
There's definitely a huge lemon burst in this, especially in the front part of the nose. It's just that sort of refreshing kind of.
Yeah. On the palate, they mentioned champagne on the palate. And I didn't get that at first. The first two times I tasted this. And then this third time I tasted it, it's that champagne kind of like pop to it.
Is it champagne or is it champagne?
Champagne. Yeah.
Remember Champagne in the 70s? You remember that nasty? Yeah. Oh, good word.
You know, but it's got that spice and a little bit of...
Yeah, I didn't get that.
That little bit of spice and the baking spice to it. It's like champagne and baking spice, a little bit of ginger on there. This one popped for me.
Yeah, there's definitely some ginger in there.
Yeah, it popped.
The ginger I get like down deep, like past the palate, almost in the throat.
I agree with you. I think that the ginger was the unique surprise. Mm-hmm. And this one I felt was a little step up from the previous one. Again, really nice, but just really interesting with that pop of ginger.
Yeah, this one's singing to me. What do you think, Justin?
Definitely Jamaican bakery going on. And it hits you in the middle of the tongue in the beginning. And the finish is all side palate for me. And it tastes like... not very sweet ginger candies and all kinds of things you'd find.
All right. Well, we're going to be rating the barrel bourbon, batch 33, a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
Keep them coming, guys, because...
They're doing a good job. Like I said, I was never a fan early on. Well, and I don't know why.
You're just a mean-spirited person.
Yes, that's because I am mean.
Yeah, snidely but whiplash.
They just didn't have... And I think maybe because of where they were sourcing it from, I was not a fan of that distillery, and it kind of overpowered it for me.
It's too much peanuts.
Yes. Yes. Too much Tennessee whiskey in there for me. So,
well, they, especially once they hit about the 10th batch, they really seem to hit their stride. And everything that has come out of there, you know, in the last several years has all been, you know, really good, solid whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with Brent. They were off to a slow start. I wasn't really impressed at the beginning either. And they've really come into their own.
Yeah. Well, they raised their prices. So that helps them be able to buy more in different barrels than they did in the beginning.
Like you know. Like you buy whiskey.
I have.
We get samples sent.
It's, back in the day.
Thank you all so much for the samples. So.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. But... yeah, it's blending is definitely an art, and it is definitely something that takes time to perfect. But I really think that they've especially the last 2 years, they've been killing it. Absolutely, especially some of the other single Vantage, you know, the one off kind of ones that they've done, that Seagrass that was really interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I mean, some of those have been absolutely fantastic. So, you know, the fact that they're still doing, you know, they're doing batch 31, 32, 33, and they're able to do the others on top of that, you know.
Yeah, that Armagnac finish for the Something special there.
That Armagnac finish is one of the, I honestly think that's the best thing I've ever had from barrel bourbon. That one was absolutely fantastic.
Fine wine and spirits pick from liquor store in Cooper City, Florida.
Well, they've done a couple. There was another chain of stores here in Florida that did an Armagnac one as well, and it was just as good. I think the blend of whiskeys they're putting into those barrels with that Armagnac, I think Joe's really figured out what needs to go into that Armagnac to make something come out that's vastly superior than what went in. Like Brent said, it's fantastic. I think it's the best thing I've ever had from them. So just keep going, guys. Keep making really great stuff. So we're going to go on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Brent tell us about that. Of course, we only got about a minute and a half before we go to break. So
okay, well,
you can get started.
This is the Kentucky Senator number 3, John C. Carlisle, 53.5% ABV or 107 proof, 7 years old. 75% corn, 21% rye, and 4% malted barley. Each new batch of Kentucky Senator Bourbon Whiskey carries the namesake of an esteemed Kentucky Senator. This third release from Kentucky Senator is named after Covington, Kentucky native U.S. Senator John G. Carlisle. Carlisle was the Kentucky Lieutenant Governor from 1871 to 1875, a U.S. Senator from 1890 to 1893, and the U.S. Secretary of Treasury from 1893 to 1897. He was also a huge supporter of the 1897 Bottled and Bond Act, and his influence was a key factor in seeing that become law. So he's kind of an important person, so it's nice to see him, name him after this.
Well, that's what they do with all their releases. They pick somebody, you know, a senator who is instrumental in the history of the state of Kentucky and name it after them. One of the founders of this brand is, I believe, a state senator in Kentucky. So, we've done one and two. I know we've done at least one of them. So, So what do you think?
Well, on the color of this one, it's a nice light color, but we'll come back to this, okay?
Yeah.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we've got Brent telling us about the Kentucky Senator Batch Number 3, John C. Carlisle. So what'd you think?
Okay, so and the color of this one is very light. So right off the bat, I was kind of thinking, wow, you know, we got these other darker ones. This is the lightest that we've had for the day.
Unlike you, you bastard, I don't see color.
I don't, well, this is, it's not quite brown, so I don't know if I should drink it brown.
It had a nice copper color to it. Yeah, it was not exactly like water.
No, but it's a lighter. It's lighter than all the others. It's a floral nose with a little bit of vanilla to it. Is what I got mostly on the palate. The barley came out surprisingly early for me. I got the barley. I got floral. I got vanilla, the oak, and a little bit of white pepper. This is on the finish, though. That's where the flavor really shines. It just everything else. All the flavors just kind of pop on the finish. It's like a medium finish, but the floral, that white pepper, just kind of pop right there. That's their sweet spot to finish on this one.
Yeah, this thing is all finished for me. I mean, there's a nice palate there, and there's a good bit of peppery spice, especially in the mid palate. But where this thing really shines is once you swallow it. That's when it just It opens up, and it's not really fair putting it after the last three from Barrel Bourbon, because this is a much it's a much lighter, more elegant style of whiskey, as you know, as opposed to, you know, the more in your face kind of bourbon. What do you think, Maury?
Well, I agree and I disagree. I thought it was a lighter style finesse, and I like that. But for me, the finish was relatively short. For whatever reason, for me, the finish just went poof, gone, poof in an instant. But I thought it was well made. I thought it had a nice nose. I thought it was really pleasant on the palate, although a little bit of a lighter, more ethereal style. But for me, once the swallow came, it was just gone in a flash. Justin?
On the nose, after the pour, like more than a half hour after the pour, I got like white pepper and apples. On the palate, I think the 21% rye really comes through. It's like well-balanced, and kind of palate kind of seeks that rye out in this one. And the finish is like subtle and long. It was well done. It doesn't drink like 107 proof. It drinks like 80, 85 proof.
Yeah. And a very, very elegant whiskey. Again, just a sort of a different style, but, you know, well done. Nice palate. Better finish than the palate for me. But overall, a really good effort, and backs up the first two that we've done, which were also very well done. So we're going to be rating the Kentucky Senator number 3, John C. Carlisle. Well-deserved. Three sips.
Interesting.
All right, so we're going to have Maury tell us about our first batch from Booker's.
Thank you, Bob. Booker's 2022-1, Ronnie's batch.
Gird your loins. The Booker's is coming.
62.15% ABV or 124.3 proof, age 6 years, 11 months, and 22 days. This batch is named in honor of Ronnie Land, a longtime employee at the Jim Beam Claremont and Boston, Kentucky plants. When Booker No was master distiller, during the 40-year career at Jim Beam, he worked his way up to the warehouse manager position. Ronnie was responsible for keeping inventory of aging barrels and knew exactly where Booker preferred to store his namesake Booker's barrels. So this is a wonderful whiskey. Again, it's got a nice deep copper color. It's got a lot going on the nose. There's toffee and caramel and molasses and cinnamon and baking spice on the palate. It's just so wonderful and mouth coating. It's got a nice viscosity to it. I'm getting some creme brulee, some barrel notes, and then the finish just seems to linger on and on and on. I thought this was a fantastic whiskey. In fact, it was one of my favorites today from Booker's of the three we tasted. Just beautifully well made, comes on subtly, and just explodes on the palate, and then just lingers. Brent, what do you think?
Classic Booker's.
Yeah.
You know, it really is a classic Booker's. You knew where to pick this one out. I'm glad that we have all three of them to compare the subtleties each other against.
It's fun to compare.
I'm excited to do that.
I've been holding back the first two for a while, waiting on that third one.
I know, and you've done a good job with it.
And they've been very nice about not going, hey, what about the first two?
Right, exactly. So normally we like to let everything sit individually, but as we get on to the next two, I'm going to throw in some of the comparisons of the ones what I like and dislike about each of them. Justin?
For me, classic Booker's, but dry mouthfeel. That's the only difference between that and the average of every other Booker's I've ever had. Bob, what'd you think?
Yeah, again, this is the classic Booker's profile for me. Just a slight bit of astringency on the front of the palate. You know, that huge boom of oak. And then on the exhale, that huge, huge finish. Barrel char, burnt toffee, you know, some dark oak. I mean, you can just taste it in this. The thing that always blows my mind about Booker's is usually they're 6-7 years old, and they're that big. It, again, it shows you age is just a number.
Location.
Depends on how you make it and location, location, location.
Yep. It's a good piece
where
of real
you
estate.
Put it.
But interestingly enough, of the three bookers, this is the youngest one.
Yep.
And I think by many counts, as you'll see, this may have been the favorite among us, and yet it's the youngest. So again,
we're talking just 5 months between the three of them.
Yeah, though, so. Yeah. It's the fact that they're able to, you know, come out with whiskey this big and this flavorful in such a short time just shows you again, it's you have to know where the barrels are coming from, and not who made them, but where they're coming from and which rickhouse. And that comes with time and that comes with experience. And Booker No was a genius on that. And Fred No knows it as well. So, you know, extremely well done. We're going to be giving the Booker's 2022 batch number one, Ronnie's batch, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So let's move on to our next batch from Booker's. And we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
We're going to talk about Booker's 2022 Batch 2, the Lumberyard Batch. It's 62.40% alcohol by volume, which is don't plan any other activities today after this spirit, or 124.8 proof. It's 7 years, 1 month, and 7 days old. This batch is named in honor of Booker No's pre-distillery years. After a short stint at the University of Kentucky, Booker hitchhiked across America in the hopes of joining the Air Force. After being accepted to the Air Force, the local police called his mom to verify his information to be cleared. When Booker's mom found out where he was, she convinced him to come home and work at the local lumber yard, too much Booker's, guys, with Uncle Jeremiah Beam, known as Uncle Jer. Booker was over 6 feet tall and very strong at an early age. He never backed away from physical labor of any kind, which made him a natural fit for the job. Booker gave 110% during his time at the lumberyard, which eventually landed him his first role working at the distillery. And from then on, the rest was history. On the nose, I got a really strong cream soda note, some sea salt on the palate. It was spicy, vibrant, and the finish was medium. It was a very good Booker's. What did you think, Maury?
Well, I thought that initially when we poured it, it was very woody and it was dominated by oak. I felt like I was chewing on a 2x4. But with air and time in the glass, the woodiness really blew off nicely. And then I would agree with you, almost all the things you said were spot on. My initial thought on the palate was it was a little closed and thin and light. But again, with air and time, the palate really blossomed. The finish improved. And I thought it was very well made. I thought it was delicious. So I think what I would say about this whiskey is don't rush it. This is a whiskey that you need to pour in the glass, go and do something else, and come back to it in about a half an hour. And I think you'll be very well rewarded.
Well, that's advice with every Booker's. It needs a minute. Yeah.
What did you think about this, Bob?
I love this one. This was my favorite of three. On the palate, the front center of the palate, I get a lemon sherbet. There's a creaminess and a big lemon boom for me. I get a lot of char on it. There's toffee notes on the back palate and the side. And the finish on the exhale, it just goes on and on and on and on. Huge, huge exhale on this. It's as enjoyable after you've swallowed it as when it's still in your mouth. So, I mean, for me, this one was my favorite of the three. But yeah, again, classic Booker's, and they're all different.
Yep. I got that. That's on the palate. I got that vanilla and pepper and those oak tannins. Mm-hmm. And then that lemon just rang through with it after that.
Just creamy and just delicious and sweet.
Which I'm not used to having lemon on my Booker's.
Yeah.
But it really works.
It works, yeah. I mean, this one was just really, really well done. So we're going to be rating the Booker's 2022 Batch 2, the Lumberyard Batch, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that brings us on to our last batch from Booker's, which is the Booker's 2022 Batch 3, which is called the Kentucky Tea Batch. This one is 63.25% ABV, 126.5 proof, the highest proof of the three released for 22. So, woo! Thank you, Rick. 7 years, 4 months old, 14 days. And while some may flavor their water with tea, Booker no love to flavor his water with bourbon. So, a wise man. I can't debate the wisdom in that. And it was something that he called Kentucky tea. And since Booker's is over 100 proof, the flavor still pulls through when added to water. So Booker would take one part of bourbon and four parts of water. I think that's marketing. They got that backwards. One part to four of Booker's?
Yeah, no.
No, I've
I'm trying it now.
Yeah, no. I've seen that man barbecue and dump an entire bottle at the barbecue, dump an entire bottle of Booker's on the grill. So yeah, no, I think it's backwards. Yeah, 4 to 1. I don't think so. Beautiful color onto it, like a dark penny. On the nose, a classic Booker's nose. Oh, just sort of a little bit of musty oak to it. Dark brown sugar, dark caramel, dark toffee. And on the palate, the tannin on it was huge when we first opened it. It has definitely come down about two levels, but still there's a huge amount of wood tannin there. And I think they named this one right because, honestly, I get huge black tea notes on this. So naming this Kentucky tea, I don't think was an accident. And I think they probably blended this up and said, we need to come up with a name for this one. It's like the way I take my tea, which is, you know, with the tiniest little bit of sweetener into it. So there's that big tea and tannin up front with a slight bit of sweet on the palate. It's got a really nice finish on it. It goes on and on. Well done. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if the tea was the power of suggestion or if it was really there. And I had to keep going back to it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was there. And I'm going to give my notes of the three. Now, I like that we're able to go through the whole three of them. And this was while it was a nice classic Booker's, this was my least favorite of the three.
I agree. It was interesting.
What I liked about it
is the most unique and different, but it was my least favorite if I was going to just pick an enjoyable bourbon.
Let's qualify that. If somebody called us from Beam Suntory and said, hey, we've got a case of this. We're going to send it to you four idiots.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. That's not your
favorite drink for the next, can you make next it three two bottles, cases? Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're splitting hairs.
Exactly.
We're splitting hairs.
Yeah, laser beam. Yeah.
But you have to judge. Yeah. We're supposed to judge everything on its own, but we have all three of them to judge from.
And the thing is everybody's palate's different because me and you, we like the middle one. We like number two the best. Yes. Maury likes number one.
Yes. Yeah.
What do you like, Justin?
So I did what Booker did. I poured four parts water.
You poured 20 parts water.
One part.
That didn't answer the question.
Yeah, you did
non-responsive counselor.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked the way Booker did it.
Favorite of the three.
Favorite of the three. This one, because I poured so much water in it, it really tastes like mild sweet tea. And I just think that's so cool. You might have
something
there.
Who knows? I mean, I'm not watering mine down.
I am not wasting my bourbon on four parts water.
No. Thank you to the folks at Beam Suntory for the samples. If they'd have sent a whole bottle, though, I would try it. But with a small sample, I am not trying, and I'm drinking it exactly as it is.
You know, they'd have been better off saying one cube of ice versus four parts water, and you let the cube of ice.
Come on, Brent. Anything under 110 proof is just offensive to you. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah.
No, but I'm saying that the same effect would have been to say, you know, one cube of ice with this, and you know, you get that big tea flavor that comes out, and this was part of it.
Yeah, this was fun. This was a fun experiment. I think that if I, you know, got to have all three in the collection, this is just a fun certain day of the week. Try it out, check it out, Sunday morning tea. Mm-hmm. But if I were going to choose and I had to buy one, it'd be number one.
Well, we're going to be rating the Booker's 2022-3 Kentucky D batch four sips.
That's
classified. We agreed on three.
Do we agree on three? Oh, okay. Sorry. Three sips.
Interesting.
Not looking at my notes. Well, that's all the time we have for today. You know what? I wish. I mean, and again, I'm very happy to have the samples we have, but I wish we had a full bottle of each one of these so that we could go back and do like a 3 or 4 year retrospective, but that's just me. So that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for this. I love the jackal in the basement.
Yeah, thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another fantastic morning in the basement. I love the drippiness.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be here, and thank God no bright light on early morning.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for Sips, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. We thank you for joining us. And remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey. And thankfully today, didn't have to do that.
Amen. Amen.
No. Didn't have to happen.
Love this job.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.